Welcome to the Celestial Sanctum Parish Podcast. Celestial Sanctum Parish is under the Celestial Church of Christ, and this podcast offers a commentary on the Word of God, and we hope you will find it beneficial for your spiritual growth. For more information, please visit our website at www.celestialsanctumparish.org.
We've come to the end of this five-part series that is titled The Five Truths. And today we're going to discuss the fifth and the last of the five truths, which according to that old CCC song states that today is perhaps the day for salvation. When we think about being saved, we think about being rescued from something. And that's what salvation is in a biblical sense. It is being rescued from sin. But if I don't believe that I'm a sinner, then what am I being rescued from? And this is where, as Christians, when we talk about salvation, it has to be clear to non-believers what we mean. It's well enough to say, I'm saved. But a non-believer might not understand what we mean by I'm saved. The natural question that follows up to that statement would be, saved from what? What peril, what problem were you saved from? And the answer, of course, is that we were saved from sin. But this is something that we need to make clear and explain to non-believers, is why that is so important. Why it is very important to be saved from sin, because I cannot understand my need for rescue if I don't know that I'm in danger, if I don't know that I'm in peril. So it seems then that the first task that the Christian must undertake when sharing the gospel or when making another understand what it means to say I'm saved, or even ask do they want to be saved, is to first be able to explain that the person is in some sort of danger or some sort of peril. What do I need to be saved from? That's the question that a Christian must be able to answer. And again, we say the answer is sin. I need to be saved from sin. We all need to be saved from sin. And the next question would then be, what is sin? We've already discussed the definition of sin in the very first part of the series. But to summarize, sin is everything that is contrary to the will of God. So then why must man be saved from sin? Why is man in need of salvation? Well, it is because God intends to destroy sin. God intends a world of perfection, a world without sin. And man, as we are now, we bear the trace of sin within us. We're sinners. We do wrong. We do bad. Many times even knowing and presumptuously doing bad. So God intends to rid his creation of every trace of sin. And therefore, that includes anyone who's found to be sinful. Now, we can imagine this and say, this means God is vengeful. Why would God take life away because of sin? Again, in a previous part of the series, we talked about the magnitude, the consequences of sin, its significance. Sin has tainted the world. Sin is the cause of everything that we know as evil in our world. And it is the will of God, his divine will and purpose, to remove sin out of the equation and to restore a world of joy, a world of peace, a world of every good virtue, a world of love. But if sin abides, such a world cannot exist. And if sin abides in you or in me, such a world cannot exist. But of course, it is impossible for you or I to deal with sin on our own. To say, today I'm going to start being a better person. Today I'm going to change and I'll fix all my vices out and I won't sin again. I won't lie, I won't cheat, I won't steal. It's impossible. Only God can do it. And that's what this fifth truth is about. Is that today just might be the day when you allow God to do it. Because it is one by one, person by person, that God is intending to rid the world of sin. One person at a time. He says, and this gospel of mine must be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. Person by person, God intends to rid the world, to rid creation of sin. And all he asks is that you and I let him work. The only thing he requires for to work is your faith and your belief. To believe that he is able to rescue you from sin, because he has already made the provision to do just that through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the entire gospel, that you and I recognize that we are sinners, that we recognize that there is sin in the world, and sin destroys everything it touches, and to recognize that God has made a provision for sin, a way to rid the world of sin, a way to save us from sin, and that he has done the work and wants nothing from you or I except that willingness to be reconciled unto him. God aims to destroy sin by reconciling us to him, by cleansing us from sin. And today just might be the day for you to let him do that work. Today just might be the day for you to be rescued, to be set free from sin. Now, what happens when a Christian then says, I'm saved? The world looks at Christians and say, well, I still see Christians lying. I still see Christians stealing, or whatever it might be. There's another power in this fifth truth, and it is the fact that we enjoy so much grace. Daily we are renewed. Daily we are cleansed. We are perpetually cleansed. Perpetually made sin free. Made whole again. There's two parts to this truth. For the non-believer, this truth says every day, in fact every passing moment, is an opportunity to be reconciled with God. Is an opportunity to be set free from sin, to have God rid you of sin. Every moment, every second, every time we draw breath is an opportunity for God to reconcile us to himself. And this is the grace of God. We're told in the book of Ezekiel that God has no pleasure in the death of the sinner. It is God's desire that the entire world be saved, that everyone be removed, that everyone be cleansed from sin, and everyone be in perfect joy and living in peace and living forever. But only those that ask, only those that desire to be rescued and saved receive that gift. But now for the believer. And many might say, well, we abuse the grace of God. But even when the world looks at believers and don't see perfection, when the world looks at believers and still see imperfection, and still see people that don't do right all the time, the knowledge that they are missing is that we can never do the work by ourselves. The knowledge they're missing is that we are under grace, being perpetually washed, being perpetually cleansed, being made sinless at every moment by the eternal and perfect work that Christ accomplished on the cross. Christians are not righteous or holier than thou or better than anyone. The only thing that separates a Christian from a non-Christian is that a Christian has accepted the offer of God to be reconciled to him by removing sin. Now, of course, that a Christian cannot continue to practice and live a sinful life and say, well, I'm covered by grace. For that is to miss the point entirely. For surely that is not a heart of repentance. But the power is that even when a Christian stumbles, even when a Christian fails and doesn't behave righteously or do right, that Christian's salvation is not compromised, because Christ has already done the work and his blood perpetually and eternally reconciles man to God and perpetually and eternally cleanses man from sin. And for as long as man is alive, whether he has not yet received or taken up that offer is extended. Until the very last breath that he draws, that offer is extended to man. God perpetually offers that gift to man, saying, do you wish to be reconciled? Do you wish to be removed from sin? To be separated entirely from sin? And at different stages of life, some come and some accept and some don't. At different stages of life, some make a decision to completely reject the offer and they never give it a second thought until the day they die. But that offer still stands today. For anyone who is still thinking about it, for everyone who has never heard about it, for everyone who maybe heard about it, tried it out, and didn't think it was for them, but maybe now they're thinking about it again. So long as there is life, today just might be the day that you are to be saved. The offer stands until the day you die. And for the believer, once you've accepted it, it is a binding contract. Nothing can break it. Once you accept and say, this is what I accept, I'm going to operate and live in this, believing in this, nothing can break it. Only faithlessness can. But the moment a person hears this offer, which is what the gospel is, it is the offer of salvation. The moment a person receives that offer of salvation and accepts that offer of salvation, the only condition is that they continue to accept that offer of salvation, meaning that they continue to express faith in that offer. It is so important to tell people about the love of God towards them, because many people have a very skewed understanding of God. Many don't have the understanding that God truly loves them, that the Christian faith is nothing more than expressing God's love towards man. It really is not about practicing a religion. Yes, there are modes of worship, there are liturgies, but before any of that is an offer, is an offer of rescue from sin. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be set free from sin? Do you believe yourself to be a sinner, which simply means, do you recognize that you don't always do what's right? And in fact, you tend to do the wrong things more than the right things. And that if you were to give an account of your life right now, you would find that your misdeeds outweigh your good deeds. And would you like for your misdeeds not to count against you? If so, today's the day to make it happen. That's what the gospel is about. Today is the day to make it happen. But it's so powerful that if someone hears that and says, no, not today, tomorrow it repeats itself again. The gospel is preached and the word of God goes out, And the offer is made again, saying, "Do you want to be saved from sin?" And a person can continue to reject, and the offer is never withdrawn. God never withdraws that offer until the day a person is unable to hear that offer anymore. Peter asked the Lord, saying, "How many times must I forgive my neighbor? 7? And Christ said, "No, not seven, but 7 times 70. It was an illustration of just the depth to which the Lord would go to be reconciled. Because that's what forgiveness is, it's to be reconciled. And the Lord so earnestly wants to be reconciled with His creatures, with His creation, with the work of His hands. For sin tainted the work of His hands, but He's made provision to be remove sin from the equation and restore the order that was at the beginning of creation before there was sin. So today, for the non-believer, is another day to accept the offer of the cross. Another day to think and for one to confess their sins and take the offer of forgiveness, the offer of salvation. And today is also another day for the believer to hold firm and hold tight to that offer and not cast it away and not rip it up, but to hold firm to that offer and say, "This offer right here that I've received, this is a once in a lifetime offer. There is no better offer than this." That's what the gospel is, and it's a daily affair. Christ said, "Whoever will follow me must pick up his cross daily." It is a daily affair. Salvation is a daily affair. The offer is extended daily. If it's rejected, it's reoffered again. If it's accepted, it must then be held on to daily. Salvation is a daily affair. So to whoever recognizes that I am a sinner and I want to be set free from sin, and I know that I cannot do it on my own, I don't have the strength to stop my sinful ways, I need to be rescued. Today is the day to be rescued. Today is the day to be saved. So let us close this series with prayer. Jehovah, Jesus Christ, Holy Michael, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your grace, for your love, for the offer of salvation. We are thankful, Lord, that you delivered us from sin. And today is yet another day for whosoever shall hear your gospel and wants to be saved and wants to be rescued. Father, we pray that they will know that you have now rescued them. And for all who have been rescued, today is yet another day to affirm and not to turn back. Give us the strength, O Lord, to remain in the faith, to hold on to your offer of salvation. We ask, Lord, that the cares of this life and the distractions of this life will not cause us to lose sight of that which you have already done. We thank you, Father, for always hearing us. May your name be forever exalted. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name.